Today on Life Talk.
The one who was a carpenter before he started his ministry is a carpenter still. He went into glory and has built a mansion, a place of dwelling for every one of his redeemed. And it's going to make Rodeo Drive and any other wealthy area that you can find in this world pale in comparison to what the master carpenter has built for the redeemed.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you. LifeTalkRadio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
In good times and bad, we Christians should determine to always be a blessing to our beloved Jesus Christ. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Life Talk. I'm Jeff Wickwire, and thanks for joining me this time. Today, we're continuing the series, The One That Got Away, taken right from the Song of Solomon. Last time on Life Talk, we covered the first 15 verses of chapter 4 in the Song of Solomon. We finished with the shepherd talking about the Shulamite's person, her position, her passion, her protection, and her perfection. And just before the shepherd ended their tryst, he whispered to her a few words about the greatest and brightest hope of all, the promised rapture of the Shulamite. Now here, the Shulamite talks about the north and south winds. A north wind is chilly. It's more adversarial than anything, chilling us to the bone. A south wind is more pleasant, like a balmy spring breeze. She's saying that no matter the circumstances, she was determined to be a blessing to her beloved. I can't wait to share it with you, so let's go right to the message, An Hour of Testimony. For those of you that might be new to this series, we've been going through the Song of Solomon. This was penned by Solomon, but really it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, as was all the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much of Scripture? All of Scripture is given by the divine inspiration of God. And it's profitable for correction, instruction, and righteousness, and so on and so forth. The man of God, woman of God, might be thoroughly furnished for all good works. So the Word of God is for all of the Word of God is for us, to feed us. It is heaven's manna. Now, Song of Solomon is no exception. And let's go over the main characters so that, once again, we'll know where we're going. You have three or four main characters in here, others that pop in and out from time to time. But first, you've got Solomon, of course. And Solomon, in this book, I contend, is a tempter. He is not godly. He's not Christ-like. He's worldly. So a lot of folks haven't understood that approach to this book, but I don't see it any other way. Solomon is no more Christ-like than Demas in the New Testament. He's just not. So there's Solomon, the tempter. Then there is the Shulamite, who is a picture of you and me, the church. And then, of course, there is the shepherd, who is clearly a picture of our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the court women. The court women pop in and out throughout this song, and they are pictures of worldly people who do not understand the love that the Shulamite has for the shepherd. And it's so in our world today. The world does not understand the church's love for Jesus. It's just not there. They don't get it. Why in the world would you live so straight-laced and not go partying and party-hardying and drinking and doping and sexing and all this? How come? What's the matter with you? Well, we have met a wonderful shepherd and he has won our heart. Okay? So that's the message of the Song of Solomon. And it's a drama. It's a poem. There's drama in it and all the elements of a great Shakespearean play, but it's not Shakespearean. It is from God. So let's look this time at An Hour of Testimony. Now, last time we covered the first 15 verses of chapter 4. We finished with the shepherd talking about the Shulamite's person, her position, her passion, her protection, and her perfection. So five P's there, in case you didn't catch that. Her person, position, passion, protection, and her perfection. Now, just before the shepherd ended their tryst, he whispered to her a few words about the greatest and brightest hope of all, the promised rapture, or her deliverance from Solomon's court, Solomon's pavilion, to be exclusively with the shepherd. Now, of course, that is a picture of what is coming for the real church of Jesus Christ. The day is going to come when a trumpet is going to blow and God is going to take us out of Solomon's pavilion, the world, and all of its temptation and all of its battle and all of its warfare. And then we are ever going to be with our great shepherd without interruption, without the devil, without sin, without the world, no detours, roadblocks, nothing to stop us from fully being in his presence. That's the message here. The Shulamite has been kidnapped and brought into Solomon's pavilion. He intends to make her one of his harem. And he had a harem, 700 concubines, 1,000 wives. And it was those wives, by the way, that carried him into idolatry because he married foreign wives that God had forbidden him from doing. And they carried him into an idolatry and an idol worship that is almost beyond comprehension. But that's another message. Now, picking up the story in the last verse of chapter 4, we hear the Shulamite's plea. Now, this is the end of chapter 4. Here's the Shulamite's plea. She says, "Awake, north wind, and come, south wind. Blow on my garden that its fragrance may spread everywhere." Now, what's she talking about? The Shulamite is talking about the north wind and the south wind. What is she referring to? Well, we know that a north wind is chilly. It's more adversarial than anything, chilling us to the bone. When a real strong north wind comes, we bundle up, and it's not a pleasant thing to go out into it. That's the north wind. A south wind is more pleasant, not in August in Texas. Let's talk about a spring wind, okay? But a south wind is more pleasant. It's like a balmy spring breeze. So she's saying, blow north wind and come south wind. What is she saying? What is she referring to? She's saying that no matter the circumstances, if it's difficult, if it's adversarial, or if it's pleasant times, she was determined to be a blessing to her beloved. Here's what she's saying. She's saying what we ought to be saying to Jesus, what our attitude ought to be. And it's this, that Lord, if I'm going through trouble, I'm still going to praise you. If I'm going through good times, I'm not going to forget to praise you. Chilly wind, cold wind is not going to drive me away from you. And south winds are not going to make me forget you. I'm going to be a blessing to you. That's her intent. I'm going to be a blessing to the shepherd no matter the weather. So we wake up in the morning, we've got bills that haven't been paid, and the kids are going nuts, and our marriage is in trouble, and we wonder what we're going to do, what direction we're going to take. That's the cold wind. And we say with the Shulamite, I'm still going to be a blessing to you, Lord, because I know you've got it all under control, so I'm with you. And when it's the south wind and it's good times and all the bills are paid and you've got extra money and everything seems to be going well and you are sailing through calm waters, you don't forget to be a blessing to the Lord and don't let the good times cause you to forget him. That's what she's saying. So whether it was a north wind or a south wind, the spices of her garden, her attitude would flow out in a blessing to the shepherd. And she's also anticipating the final consummation of their relationship. Now, this is intimate. That moment when he finally comes to rescue her from Solomon's pavilion and makes her his own. It's wedding time. It's honeymoon time. That's what she's talking about. Look at what she says in verse 16, the latter half of the verse. Let my beloved come into his garden and taste his choice fruits. This cry of the Shulamite echoes the longing of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's saying what we've read so often in the Bible, even so, come Lord Jesus. It says in Revelation 22:20, right at the end of that incredible prophecy, John writes, he who is the faithful witness to all these things says, let's read it together. Yes, I am coming soon. I read this good and loud. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That's what she's saying. She's saying, shepherd, when you're ready, I'm ready. Come and get me out of here for my ultimate is to be with you forever. And I really do believe that the more the last days move along and the tougher times get out there and the darker it seems to become, the cry of the church is going to increase. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Oh, come Lord Jesus. Listen, when the times are tough out there, it causes you to look up and say, Lord, my eyes are on you. And I want you to come and take us out. Paul wrote to the Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you eagerly await his return? What if you knew he was coming tonight? Would you sit here for the rest of the service, or would you run and make some things right before he showed up? What would it do to you if you knew he was coming again tonight? Would it scare you? Would it excite you? Would you feel like, well, I better make some phone calls, get some things right, ask for forgiveness, forgive some others, heal some relationships? What would you do if you knew that he was coming back tonight? I really believe when you're really right and walking in the Spirit, you can say with Paul, we eagerly await a Savior from there. Now, just as the Shulamite wanted deliverance from Solomon's courts, the church longs for the rapture and our deliverance from this present evil world. And this is one troubled world, and it's only going to get worse, church. Can I tell you? Evolution is not going to make it better because evolution doesn't exist. We're not evolving into a better place. We're devolving into a more difficult place. Satan knows his time is short and has come down with great wrath. But we walk with a victor who gives us peace in the storm. Amen? Now, unfortunately, the translators, when they were dividing up the chapters, and it was translators that did it, you do understand, in the original language, there were no chapters. It was just a long scroll. But the translators came along and divided the Bible up into chapters, and it's a good thing they did. It's easier to remember, easier to read, kind of marks things off. But when they ended chapter 4 with verse 16, I think they made a mistake. They should have made one more, verse 17, and made chapter 5, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 17. Because I think chapter 5, verse 1 is directly attached to 4, verse 16. Does that make sense? Okay, let's look. We see in chapter 5, verse 1 that the shepherd was just as excited with the prospect of rapture as was the Shulamite. Look what he says, verse 1. I have come into my garden, my sister, my bride. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb and my honey. I have drunk my wine and my milk. The shepherd had an expectation of marital bliss. Notice he speaks of her as his bride. He longs to consummate the betrothal when the proper time arrives. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you aware that Jesus feels that way about the church? Now, I'm not talking sexual. This is not ultimately sexual. I mean, do you know that when the Father finally turns to the Son and says, go get your bride, Jesus is going to say, hallelujah, because he wants to be with those his blood redeemed.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
The great truth here is that the rapture of the church. The Lord is coming for his church. He does indeed intend to catch it up in his arms and take it forever to be with himself. And then we will go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It'll be a feast like you have never, you can't even begin to imagine it, because eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. What a day that's going to be. when Jesus comes. And instantly we shall see him and we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In John 14, verses 2 through 3, Jesus says, and I read this at every funeral I ever preside over. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Now, verse 1 is Jesus telling us not to be afraid. Not to be afraid of death, not to be afraid of evil. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. That's why you shouldn't be afraid. That's why you shouldn't be troubled. Because the one who was a carpenter before he started his ministry is a carpenter still. He went into glory and has built a mansion, a place of dwelling for every one of his redeemed. And it's going to make Rodeo Drive and any other wealthy area that you can find in this world pale in comparison to what the master carpenter has built for the redeemed. That's a fact. Look what he said. I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. Do you believe that tonight? That's the promise of Jesus. And he went on to say that where I am, there you may be also. Now, the next section of the poem is an hour of testimony. The shepherd had come and gone. The soul of the Shulamite is ablaze with song, and she wants to share her joy with others. Now, there's not very many people to share it with except these court women who don't understand her love for the shepherd, but she can't help it. And what we're about to see is this Shulamite who has just spent this quality time with the shepherd is about to start witnessing of the beauty of the shepherd. Do you know that you can't spend quality time with Jesus without wanting to go out and tell somebody how wonderful he is? I'm going to say that again. You cannot come out of the presence of the Lord and have had a feast in his word and a wonderful time in prayer and tasted and seen that the Lord is good without wanting to go out and tell somebody how wonderful your great shepherd is. And that's what's happening to her right here in chapter 5. She says to the court women, eat, friends, and drink. Drink your fill of love. In other words, partake with me of the joy I have with my beloved. I want you to know what I know. I want you to know the one who I love. I want you to meet the shepherd like I have met the shepherd. Let me tell you of his love. Now, she's about to go on a major brag session about the shepherd. And I tell you, church, when a church is red hot and walking in the Spirit and experiencing his blessing, we ought to have brag fits about Jesus. We ought to go out and just brag on Jesus. You don't have to be a theologian to brag on Jesus. Essentially, she's witnessing to these court women who love Solomon and not the shepherd, and they listen amazed at such love. Now, in chapter 5, verse 9, we're going to see the court women want to know, what's so great about your shepherd? How is your beloved better than others? And we're going to read that verse in a minute. How is your beloved better than others? And they're referring to Solomon. How is your shepherd better than the one we love, Solomon, O most beautiful of women? How is your beloved better than others that you charge us like you do? And this gives the Shulamite the opportunity to witness of the shepherd. And this is exactly what happens with us after having spent quality time with our great shepherd, as she just has. She begins by describing the dream. Now, how many of you remember the dream she had that we were dealing with at the beginning? Raise your hand if you remember that dream. She had that dream. You have to go back to chapter 3 to read about it. But she begins by kind of going back to that dream we looked at in chapter 3 of the shepherd approaching her at night. She describes the shepherd knocking. Now remember, the shepherd is a picture of Jesus. She's a picture of us. Keep that in mind. Now here she's telling these court women, here's what happened to me. I was asleep, but my heart was awake. Listen, she says to them, my beloved is knocking. What does he say? Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my flawless one. Those words are words of love. This shepherd knocking on the door of her home is telling her how much he loves her. Now, it's easy to take this back to the first time Jesus knocked on the door of our heart. Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man or woman hears my voice
and opens the door of their heart, I will come into them and sup with them, which means fellowship with them, and they with me. This is another picture of that New Testament truth. He said, open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my flawless. I love you. Open to me. Let me in. Perfectly describes how our shepherd first come to us. And I just quoted that verse. But next we see that she did not open the door. In this dream, she didn't open the door. She did not let him in. She allowed him to stand outside, a barred and bolted door in the wet and cold night, dew dripping on his hair. She didn't let him in. And it's a perfect picture on how we have bolts and deadlocks on our heart and how we resist the Lord. We may let him into a few rooms, but there's always a room or two that is still deadbolted and locked. And you know what? You never experience the fullness of Jesus till every door and every room in your soul has had the lock removed and Jesus has been allowed into every room. But she leaves him out there. And she tells us of her silly reasons for turning him away. Verse 3, she says, I see you knock, I hear you knocking and I see you out there, but I've taken off my robe. Must I really put it on again? I've washed my feet. Must I soil them again? Excuses, excuses. You know, Jesus talked about those excuses. He said, he talked about him holding a banquet and sending out people, sending out messengers to invite people to the banquet. And all they hear is excuses. Well, I'd love to come, but I married a wife. I cannot come. And I bought me a cow. I cannot come. And I'm watching football. I cannot come. Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't in there. I missed that. Or I had to go to the mall. I cannot come. Or, you know, life is just busy, Lord. I cannot open to you. Maybe when I'm old and gray and decrepit and sitting in some nursing home, then I'll let you in when there's nothing else to do in life. And only a fool says that. See, if you're looking for an excuse to shut Jesus out, the devil will give you 10 excuses in 5 minutes. Bottom line is this, you want him in your life, you will find a way to let him into your life. That's a fact. But this Shulamite turned him away. And so often it's our refusal to get out of our comfort zone. We're in our lazy boy. We don't want to fool with Christianity. Causes us to miss God. Or we don't want to get our feet dirty in the ministry of the Lord. I want to go out there and minister to all those people. I don't want to give my time. I don't want to give my strength. I'm busy. I've got a family. I got bills to pay. So I'm not going to get my feet. Must I put my robe on again? Must I put my shoes on again? I don't want to be inconvenienced by God's call. So the Shulamite at this time, listen to me, she missed her chance at this time. Next, she tells of her sad reward for turning him away. Look what she says happened in verse 4. My beloved thrust his hand through the latch opening. My heart began to pound for him. Now, let me help you with this one. One commentator puts this verse, my beloved thrust in his hand at the window, because the door was locked. So he put his hand through the window, but in the margin of the companion Bible, the reading is suggested, quote, then my beloved withdrew his hand. I think that's closest to the fact. He's knocking, it's deadbolted, it's locked. She will not inconvenience herself to let him into her life. He withdraws his hand and he walks away. He's not like Solomon who grabbed her and forced her and coerced her and took her into his pavilion. This shepherd is more like our shepherd. He's a gentleman. He'll knock. But if any man hears my voice and uses his will to open the door, if he opens the door, I will come in. But if he doesn't open the door, I don't come in. You know what he does? He leaves us to ourselves. He says, okay, you know, I came knocking and here's what I've noticed. Years in the ministry, here's what I've noticed. The Lord comes knocking at very, very key times in our life because he sees what is down the road. He knows where we're going.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoyed the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners, like you, to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.